I'm Amos, host of Undaunted, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite audio newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My friends call me SP. And I have two other reporters for this special episode number 176 of the Starling Tribune. Chris!
Like you always taught me, drink good booze and always look out for yourself.
Except for when you can't find the actual bottle of booze anywhere. And Michelle!
Well, getting shot wasn't great. But if I'm counting the times you saved my life against the times you almost got me killed, you're still ahead.
That's some crazy superhero logic going on right there.
True that.
Hey everyone, this podcast is recorded on Sunday, November 19th, 2017, live on Geeks.live. Remember, our audio newspaper is full of speculations, facts, and spoilers about Arrow and the rest of the DC TV movie and comic universes.
That's right, and this evening we'll be discussing Arrow as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and very well will impact future episodes of shows like Arrow, but of course also the rest of the universe. So that would include shows like The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, and maybe even Black Lightning.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
All right, we got a full plate on us tonight. We're recording two episodes. This is one of two. And I think we should just get down into it, right, Michelle?
Sure. This week's episode was called Promises Kept, Season 6, Episode 6, originally aired Thursday, November 16th, 2017. Directed by Antonio Negrete. And credits include 4 episodes of Arrow, 2 Legends, 1 Flash, and 2 of the 100. Written by Oscar Badarama, who's written 12 Arrow, 1 Drop Dead Diva, and 2 Eli Stone. And Rebecca Bellotto. She's written 3 episodes of Arrow and has been the writer's assistant on 13 episodes.
Moving them up. We've talked about before how with all these comic book shows out, the coffers are pretty thin on bringing in experienced personnel. So it's great that they're bringing in somebody that has been a second stringer into the first string row. So congratulations, Rebecca. And what a great episode as well. We'll get into that in a second. We're going to run down the actual ratings for the week. These are the live ratings. And we're going to start with Supergirl on Monday, the 13th of November with the show Midvale. They had a live rating of 1.89, which is actually pretty good for the CW on a Monday night. Tuesday night, The Flash aired the episode When Harry Met Harry, which was the Council of the Wells, and they received a rating of 2.46.
Wait. Is that like the Council of Ricks almost? I haven't watched that episode yet because I'm behind. So they did the Council of Ricks on The Flash basically with Wells? This is amazing.
It was pretty funny.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I couldn't contain myself.
No, if you have not seen When Harry Met Harry, which is the 6th episode of Flash 4th season, you need to see it. It is priceless all on its own. Tom Cavanaugh just has fun playing many, many different versions of Harry Wells. Well, following The Flash on Tuesday the 14th of November, Legends of Tomorrow aired the episode Helen Hunt, which was actually a really good episode, at least in my opinion, and it received a live rating of 1.53, which is a little on the low side. And then on Thursday, the 16th of November, as Michelle said, Promises Kept aired with a new series low of 1.28. So ouch, ouch, ouch. And I really hope the CW app is coming in and giving CW its due diligence, because these episodes have been really good. They harken back to the season one and season two of Arrow. So that's the ratings. Michelle, what do we got for the rest of the episode?
The episode is called Promises Kept, and this is one of those episodes where it is mentioned all the time. If you took a drink every time someone said promise or promises, you would be very drunk by the end of this episode. Not dead, but really drunk. And I want to go over Slade's promises because his is like the really core. And gentlemen, let's rate how well Slade has kept his promises. So far, this is what I tracked through the episode. Slade's promise to Joe to not leave. Slade's promise to Shadow to avenge her death. Slade's promise to Oliver to make him suffer. Slade's promise to save Kane / Joe. Slade's promise to not give up on Joe and to find his other son, Grant. So, SP, I see you're nodding. How did Slade do?
You want to go overall or one by one here?
Yeah. Which one do you think he kept, broke? Has he made too many?
Well, he's definitely made too many promises. And I would say that his promise to Joe not to leave, well, that was broken pretty easily. I don't think he should have made that promise, especially if he was going to be in the special services. The promise to Shadow to avenge her death, while misguided, I do believe he did enact on that. So, okay, I'll score him one for that. So he's 1-1. Slade's promise to Oliver to make him suffer, he did do that. So that's 2-1. Slade's promise to save Kane / Joe, I don't think so. So I think he's 2-2. And then Slade's promise to not give up on Kane and to find his other son, Grant, that's an undecided. So he's 2-2. He needs to come back with this finding Grant and not give up on Kane / Joe in order to break the tie here.
Well, hopefully that's something that happens in the Deathstroke TV series we'll get, right? Right? Someone please tell me we're getting this, please?
Sure. Mark Guggenheim, you need to take this in action.
Netflix, call Netflix.
To me, these two episodes were like the perfect backdoor pilot for Slade's TV show.
I said this morning when we recorded ATGN, I said, if you haven't watched Arrow in a while, these are two episodes to bring you back because it felt like old school Arrow. And like I gushed about last week, you had Slade basically demolishing people. You had a flashback that went 5 years back and tied into the main story. Only it wasn't about Oliver. This was very much a good return point for people that had dropped off the series, people who were Slade fans. And I think you're right. This would be a great backdoor pilot to do a Slade miniseries or something like that. Or even if it's just an animated thing like they did for Vixen. The potential is there, and they left the dangling plot thread to bring Slade back. So, fingers crossed, it's going to happen. Now, I'm a fanboy, so keep that in mind.
I wonder if they're really going to do that because of the DC film universe and where they're going with different characters. Because we've seen in the past with Suicide Squad that if they throw a character on the main screen, that they're going to kill them in this show or not present them in this show. Now, with Flash, that obviously has changed, but I don't know, guys. It just doesn't look good, Chris. Sorry, man.
I know. That's wishful thinking. I'm hoping that if I wish hard enough, it will come true.
Well, if you're a good boy, maybe Santa will bring you that gift.
Please? I don't think I've been that good, though. That's the problem.
So I was thinking there might be a few other promises. So Oliver's promise to save their sons, meaning his and Slade, and Kane promises to kill Slade, and then Diggle, because the other storyline from this episode is Diggle and his promises to the team and Lila. And finally, we get some reckoning with Diggle. He finally tells Lila the truth. And this is really because he has to, and it has to do with some of the fights that were in this episode, because there's two storylines. There's Slade and Oliver, and then in Star City, there's Diggle on the team. And I'd like to jump to the fight where Diggle freezes. And Chris, do you remember why Diggle froze?
Oh, that's the second fight then. So then he realizes the guy that's been supplying him his prototype steroid that helps deal with his nerve tremors is in fact the big bad. It's one Ricardo Diaz, a.k.a. the Dragon.
Well, to clarify, there were two different fight instances with Diggle this episode. There was the opening fight where he was shaking too much that he couldn't shoot and he put his crossbow down in order not to endanger other members of his team. That wasn't really a freeze. That was he didn't have a clear shot because he was shaking. I think you're referring to the fact that he froze when he was looking at that drug that was on fire and he wanted to go in and save it, right?
Well, he actually, they're at Palmer Tech and the team is arriving to stop the theft, Diggle, he actually has trick arrows in the, I guess his arrow gun. He doesn't actually have a quiver.
It's the best gun ever if he's able to just switch into trick arrows like that.
It's like a shotgun pump.
Sweet.
One of the arrows he shoots into the car, it's the one that fries electronics.
Oh, and it causes the airbag to go off, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, there's Diaz, and Diggle puts it together that, oh, the new guy, the dragon, is my dealer. And he has to let him go because he freezes.
Just get back to the trick arrow that caused the airbag to go off. I'm wondering if it's a Katata airbag, you know, the one that's involved in the big airbag lawsuit right now, because it would go off or not go off just for anything anyway. So the arrow might not have done that.
That's possible.
Oh, come on. That's an arrow Felicity and or Curtis did. So it's taken over the electronic system. I got to give him credit.
It's the magic hacker arrow. It's got elite skills, guys. It's uber elite.
Okay, if the two of them can hack an ICBM as it's about to befall the city, which I've gone all over how impossible that was going to be anyway. Okay, I'll give it to them. They actually did the hack. So let's get back to the freezing with Diaz. Chris, what do you think?
I mean, he froze because it's the guy that he recognized he bought drugs from. I mean, it's that simple. That's his way to keep being the Green Arrow. So now he's conflicted. Do I take this guy down, meaning I'll lose my access to my magic drug? Or do I do what I know I should do, which is take him down?
Yeah, and this leads him to finally confessing first to Lila. And how do we think Lila took this? I am not married, and I have never been married. And I know, okay, I don't know if in this altered flashpoint thing where now there's no more baby Sarah and now we get John Jr. But before we knew they were married, then they divorced and they remarried. I know SP, I know you've been the married one or still the married one. How do you think Lila took it? Is that realistic or?
See, they have a really strange relationship because she's really been on the wrong end of a lot of this stuff herself to begin with. So these are two damaged people now that recognize that they're both damaged, still want to stay together, and they have to find a way for things to work. So when you're married and you're all in, you're trusting that other person and you're helping that other person no matter what. Now, there are boundaries to that. I mean, if you're going to go off and kill somebody or you're not going to be faithful to your spouse or something like that, it's kind of like cause for, okay, you've broken the contract. But these are things outside of their relationship. So is this plausible? Yeah, probably not the way I would see it. And by the way, is this the first time we've seen Lila all season?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Like out of nowhere, all of a sudden she shows up in the apartment. It's like, okay, where have you been for the last five episodes?
She's running Argus.
I know that, but she was so integrated with Team Arrow in the past that, again, where is Argus with this whole FBI investigation, which thank God we didn't get anything on that this episode.
Okay, I'm going to take it as your word, SP, that this is a realistic depiction of a marriage, and considering that they have been through ups and downs in last season and their confrontation, so okay. But one of the things that interesting is that when Lila realizes that Diggle is actually still taking the drug, and I don't know, part of me is like she really gets over it, considering that she tells him that he's the moral one, and she just seems like she walks away for a little bit, maybe goes to a Big Belly Burger and eats, and then comes back, and then she seems to be okay with everything.
Okay. from that perspective, I get where you're coming from. I will say there was a heck of a lot going on in this episode. You mentioned that there are two major things going on in this episode. I would actually add a third major thing going on in this episode, and that is the flashbacks in the Oliver and Slade story. So there's really three. It's not a lot of time when you've got an A story, a B story, a C story, and really a D story in this. So there's just so much screen time. Could it have been done better? Maybe, but there's just a lot going on. So if that is a hang up that you have with this episode, I'll say yes, okay. And maybe it should have been drawn out over other episodes and get Lila in there before this episode to go over this.
It didn't bother me as much as it could have, because if you remember, I mean, their relationship since they got back together is all about someone makes a boneheaded play and then the other one supports them. Because remember, Dig, not a big fan of her leading Argus and things like that. So while I agree it was rushed just for the sake of the episode, I sort of get it. I don't know. I'm not married. What do I know?
So, you know, the team is looking for this new guy called Dragon and they're not having any success. But then all of a sudden, Diggle presents an address and says it's from a source. And then that leads us to the team's big fight. So, Chris, what happens when the team finally attacks Dia?
Oh, when they finally get in there? This is fun, because this is where Dig yet again freezes. We have the magic arrow. Or am I thinking of the wrong fight?
There's so many fights this episode. It was so cool.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. They're all blurring together.
Like when Diaz is in the warehouse and then all of a sudden in the distance, he hears Dinah's cry, right?
Oh, yeah. When she blows the doors open and then in the end, he basically just like, screw you guys. I'm getting out of here and I'm taking the building down with me. I'm getting rid of all this supply and whoosh, puts it all up in flames. And whoosh is the technical term for a big explosion of fire. Whoosh.
I like that. But you know what gets me is that you hear the cry off screen, and then Diaz is like, oh, hey, Green Arrow and company have found us. So, SP, do you really think that was the best tactic to get a bad guy? Do you think they should have started with the cry?
Their tactics are have something to be desired. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if it looks good on camera, that's probably the best way to go for these fights. But yeah, they're training a lot with individual tactics, but like Delta Formation is the only real like group tactics that we've seen. And that's like the Mighty Ducks, Ducks Fly Together V formation. So if that's all they've really practiced, I don't think the Delta Formation was really going to help them this time around.
That's true. But I really like the perspective that they gave the bad guy. You know, that reaction, that's something that we haven't really actually seen this season. It was like the bad guy going, oh, they found us. Let's burn this to the ground. But Diggle's tempted.
He is. He's very tempted. He was looking at that for quite a while. Matter of fact, the way the fire was going, I think you could have actually gone in there and taken a couple of those boxes, but then your supplier is going to be gone.
I mean, but don't you understand it? I understand his temptation here. I mean, he was going to tell Oliver, like he said, but now he's got to fulfill a promise to a friend. He's got to fill the shoes of the Green Arrow. He can't do it the right way. He hasn't reached out to anyone for help. And this is the only way he saw, be it right or wrong, as the way to be the Green Arrow. I understand the temptation, and I think it says a lot that he was able to look past that and continue and know that, okay, I'm in trouble here, and then come clean when it's all said and done.
Right. So we all agree that the mistake was given at the beginning when he did not disclose to Oliver that he was having this issue, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I understand why he didn't, though, because this is Oliver coming to him hat in hand, heart in hand, being like, look, I have to stop being the Green Arrow. And if you're Diggle, you understand his reasoning for it, albeit it's flawed because he's asking yet another father to take his shoes, but neither here nor there. You can't very well be like, oh, dude, my arm doesn't work. I can't do it, because you don't want to put that on him when he's made this decision to give up this life, to give up the mission.
Yeah, but Oliver wasn't the only person that could have been the Green Arrow. We're not even discussing Roy Slade could have come back to be the Green Arrow. I mean, there's a ton of people that actually could have come back and been the Green Arrow. Heck, they could have even brought Malcolm back to do it.
Well, I mean, Slade's out of pocket right now. He was off searching for his son, so that one wasn't feasible. Roy, he might come back at some point in time, but for all intents and purposes, don't plan on seeing Colton Hayes return for more than maybe one episode a pop.
And then Dinah, she could have been the leader of the team too, yeah, they'd be down one, but they got Ragman out there that needs to come back. So many different ways.
If you're Oliver, who do you trust to take over the mantle to lead the team? You trust someone who's had your back since day one. If Diggle says, I can't do that, do you think Oliver gives up the mantle? I don't think he does. And I don't know that Diggle wanted to put that on his best friend, on his brother there, to be like, look, I can't do this, so now I can't let, now you can't keep your promise to your son to stop doing this. I understand his reasoning, because he was going to break his friend, basically, if he didn't. And he thought he could figure out a way around it, and he sort of did. Not the right way around it, but he did find a way around it for a while.
I disagree slightly, Chris. I get where you're coming from, but all I'm saying is that Diggle should have known this was not going to end well. I mean, what does he think he was going to do? Just bluff his way through it? Did he think the serum was going to actually let him act as the Green Arrow? I mean, I guess if that's the case. And then when Curtis said, oh man, I'm offended because you didn't come to me. Look, I could have fixed you. Yeah. Why didn't he come to the team? We already discussed that like three episodes ago.
We all said that when the episode happened. We're like, dude, he made a magic microchip that made a paralyzed woman walk again. And then he said almost the exact same line in the episode. I'm like, yep, called it.
So this was three episodes of fluff to get to this point then?
Do we think that would have been a richer story if it was, let's band together to help Diggle?
I think it would have been, we've done this before.
Well, I think what this is setting up is, it's setting up Oliver coming back to it when they can't find a way to help him in a decent time frame and something happens and we know Oliver's coming back for the crossover, so what better way to have it be than Diggle can't physically be the Green Arrow and they need the Green Arrow to deal with the effects of the crossover.
That's true. Now, SP, you mentioned earlier that we had some flashbacks, and I know we talked before about how this made us do math. So why don't you take us through the flashbacks and why it made us do math?
Yeah, so the first one was like 7 years ago, Slade's in the Aces medical ward. He was found on the Philippine coast, and he did mention Oliver. His son Joe had already joined Aces and was able to be there at his bedside when he woke up. And then Slade said, I'll never leave you again, Joe. I promise I won't do that. So that was 7 years ago. And in my mind, I'm like, 7 years ago? But they weren't even on the island 7 years ago. And I was thinking, oh, crap. All those flashbacks that had happened over the past 5 years happened in the previous 5 years. So we're really talking, the show is really in its like 11th year right now, not just the 10th year. So you got to go, you got to think about that. They basically doubled the runtime of the show by doing those flashbacks. So the 7 years ago thing really got me thinking. And this is when Oliver thought he had killed Slade on the island, which was 7 years ago. And they gave us those flashbacks, too.
Which was slick.
Yeah. And then we have other flashbacks. We got 6 years ago, and then we got 5 years ago. And what's interesting is that it seems like the Marikuru subsided for a little bit.
That's what they said. They said it had subsided, which I don't know, Chris. If that's the case, Chris, you're the Deathstroke expert here. Then we're due for the Marikuru to come back again.
It's possible. I don't know. Well, no, because remember, Oliver gave him the cure for Marikuru in season two. At the end, he stabbed him with the injection that had the cure for it. So it's no longer in his system. They cured him, whereas he was not cured in the flashback fights in season two. He was just stabbed in the face.
Yeah, they could say it the cure just caused him to subside for a few years and it's actually coming back. I could see that happening.
I think that would make for a more compelling television series if it starts to come back and he's having to grapple with the fact of, okay, there's an advantage to this. It makes me stronger, more powerful, more resilient. But the side effect is I'm slowly going bananas as I start to see Shadow again, who's telling me to go kill Oliver Queen, who I've kind of buried the hatchet with.
Which was amazing, by the way, to see her again on screen. She's come back in a few flashback scenes since, but it was great to see Shadow there. And I forgot, honestly, that Shadow had been there in the ghost form on a Slade way back when he came back to, was it Star City or Starling City at the time? I think it was Starling City, right?
Starling. And what I thought was interesting, how we had, there was actually flashbacks within the flashback.
Right. Well, those were briefer, though. Those were like just quick cuts versus whole little story segments. So, but that was kind of neat the way they did that. And it brought back that this actually did happen. And it happened in the course of the time frame. I think the flashbacks, they did it really well, other than the fact that the time frame totally confused me, and it shouldn't have, but it did.
One of the things I liked about the flashback is that it sets up Slade's conflict of having to choose between his two current sons, because in the flashback, he's training with Joe with the sticks, and he remembers doing the same thing with Oliver, and then he's like, you know, that kind of like pumps his adrenaline in the Mirakuru, and he ends up like cutting Joe's hand and everything. And that continues in the present, because, you know, as we talked last time, Slade keeps calling Joe and Oliver kid in like the same way. And now he is there with his actual son. And that scene where it picks up and Slade walks up to the gun and says to, well, Kane, you know, I came to here to see you, to talk to you. That was intense.
Oh, yeah,
it was. And he was ready to die then, too.
Chris, what did you think of that scene?
I love the way he played it. The just, okay, this is what I'm here for. This is my mission. And the intensity in his eyes as he literally walks up and puts his face up against a gun. It was well done. This was a very good episode for Manu Bennett to go through different types of Slade Wilson, be it the crazy Will Slade, the intense Slade, the remorseful Slade, things like that. You bought most of them. You're just sitting like, whew. And he was able to do a lot of it, not with his words, but with facial expressions.
Yeah, he ends up giving Oliver the walkie, and he seems to be playing both sides, but then Oliver is captured. And so then we have this scene where Oliver's tied up and Kane's in there and it's Slade, and Kane is like, hey, I got Oliver. You said you had a promise to keep. And so Chris, because, you know, like Deathstroke's, you know, like one of your favorites. In that room, what did you think he was going to do?
Oh, I didn't think he was going to kill Oliver or turn on him. I thought that this is going to be, Oliver is going to appeal to him, especially the comment about, we're going to save, we said we were going to save our sons. Once he said that, I said, okay, I know for sure that this will they won't, will he won't he turn kind of thing wasn't going to happen. He was going to side with Oliver. But even though in the back of my head, I knew nothing was going to be different than that, I still was kind of on the edge of my seat because, again, it was well played by both actors there.
Wow, that was, well, when he had the sword to his eye, I was like, is the show really going to have an eye patch over Oliver Queen for the next however many episodes or years? And I was like, no, they're not, because Oliver is the big draw here. And it's not like Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where, okay, they've had their fun and now they can get away with an eye patch. So yeah, I didn't think the sword was going to go through the eye, but I didn't know how it was going to go. And it was kind of a surprise, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, whatever happens here, Oliver's still going to be alive because he's got to go back to town. That's the thing with Oliver Queen and this series. He's never going to die. So you know he's going to get out somehow of every situation that he's in.
And Chris, why don't you take us through the fight of how Oliver and Slade, they make their own escape, right, Chris?
Oh, it's pretty intense. I mean, I enjoyed just seeing Oliver back in the fight again. That was fun to me. And it's a big shootout, and they dive through a window. They get the superhero dive out a window. You really can't beat that.
They fell on a street. They fell on a parking lot. They fell on hard ground, and then you had no idea where they went after that. That was hardcore.
It just proves Renee's a little weakling. He falls on one car off of a bridge, and he's in a hospital for weeks, and Oliver and Slade fall out a window on the concrete, and they're just like, psh, brush myself off. I got S to do.
They're not even brushing themselves off. They're running, because by the time they get to the window, which is like 5 seconds after they jumped out of it, you can't see them. They're gone.
That's half the fun. I like stupid superhero stuff like this. I can't help it. It puts a smile on my face. I know it doesn't make sense.
But Oliver with the knife, when he stabbed the one guy in the back, right? He takes the knife out. He stabs another guy. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah. How's that pledge not to kill going? Because you're probably going to die once you get stabbed like that.
But SP, because Kane's plan is to attack the water supply and whatever, who cares? But there's that great sword fight between Slade and Kane.
Indeed. It was fun seeing dad and son go after each other, especially since you've seen them in training years before go after each other in the flashbacks. So it was just intense. It was fun. These guys, the fight choreography is back up in this show. They might have gone overzealous with the fight scenes in this episode, but to be honest, I'm fine with it because that's what this show is all about. It's about the fights. It's about the street brawling, and it's about the ninja fights because of the League of Assassins. And let's not forget, the League of Assassins doesn't exist anymore because Oliver basically killed it.
That's true. I live tweet this, and I, of course, read many fan interactions and stuff. And one of the main things that keeps coming up is, how can Oliver see Slade as redeemed, considering that Slade killed Oliver's mom?
Well, I mean, he was a little nuts. Because remember, he knew Slade before he went nuts. I mean, he and Slade, they became friends on the island. Slade saved his bacon, trained him how to fight. And then he gradually saw Slade fall into madness once he got the Mirakuru. So I think potentially Oliver's able to separate Deathstroke from Slade Wilson. Let's go the same analogy of, Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker. How is Luke Skywalker able to forgive Anakin at the end? He puts the two people in different categories. He sees them as different people.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. In my mind, I was flashing forward to the current trilogy that's going on and why I don't afford Kylo Ren the same Darth Vader redemption in my head. But we're in the middle of that trilogy, not in there. And how it applies to here, everybody can be redeemed. Basically, that's the story of the show. Everybody can be redeemed, unless you're really that bad of a person that you get hit by a van or your head gets chopped off.
So in that case, SP, do you think Slade can go redeem Kane?
I think it's possible. I also think it's possible that it goes the other way. And then I don't know what happens to Slade the other way, if it indeed goes the other way. Or maybe the two of them in their quest, they find Grant, and then one of them ends up killing Grant, thus putting a divide between the two forever. I don't know, man. There's so much that could happen with this. It's delicious, the storyline that they've created. And we talked about Grant, by the way, way back, I believe it was season one or season two. So it's great to hear Grant's name being mentioned and a player on the table again. What happened to their mom? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if she's still alive or what. So that might be something we just have to wait and see for the possible Deathstroke TV series. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens.
Especially when Kane mentioned that he had his first kill 6 months afterwards. So it just gets my mind thinking, well, who was that kill? What happened? That sort of thing.
That bugger's sadistic, man.
Indeed. And he did watch his dad kill somebody.
That's true. Which we called last week.
Yes, we did. So we see Slade not go into the sunset, but into the dark through that steam in that amazing shot. That was some great cinematography.
It was good. It was slightly cheesy at the same time, but I liked it. It was fun.
Come on, it's Slade. It's Deathstroke. He's kind of over the top to begin with.
Exactly. That's why it worked. There was a small part of me that's like, this is a little ridiculous. But most of me is like, this is awesome.
Especially since you're on Slade overload right now.
Dude, I'm in trouble for the next episode. I'm going to be like, no Slade, I'm out.
So we had one, villain walk away. And we had, going back to the other storyline with the dragon, what do we think of him as a villain?
I don't know if we know enough about him yet. I mean, he hasn't had a ton of screen time for us to be like, oh, you're on level of Malcolm Merlyn, or you're on the level of, I can't remember the one villain who was the same actor on The Walking Dead. But whatever, I don't think we know enough to say whether the dragon is going to be awesome, terrible, or mid-level. I hope he's awesome. I like the actor so far, what I've seen in the role. So, fingers crossed he turns into a super badass.
Kirk, it was awesome, by the way, because it was just like I was seeing the same character out of 12 Monkeys. I mean, Kurt has a very limited range in his dynamic of acting, but the wonderful part is in that limited range, he can play good, bad, conflicted. Kurt has just, he's one of those magnetic actors that you want to have in your property because he's just so magnetic and he plays whatever character he's playing so well. So my hat's off to him.
I agree. He's a great addition to the series. Chris.
Yes.
Any last thoughts about the episode?
It was a good send-off for Manu Bennett as Slade Wilson. If we never see the character again, it was a good send-off and farewell for it, and it leaves it open to a lot of headcanon thoughts of what might happen afterwards. So while I hope we get him back, if we don't, I can live with it because it was a good ending.
SP?
I think this was a pretty good climactic episode in the middle of the fall part of the season, not the mid-season finale. But you got to remember, we got to start shelving some stories because we got the crossover coming up the week after next. So it's time to put away your toys for a little bit and start working on another project just for a little bit. Come back with the mid-season finale and then start again in January. So unfortunately, as a watcher of this, knowing where we are in the season, kind of get a layout of where things are. So this was a good, it was, 6 years in the making? So I really did enjoy this. The one thing that I want to see is I want to see that plane crash on Lian Yu. So Arrow producers, I want to see the plane.
They're saving that for the Deathstroke TV series. Contact Netflix now, everyone. At Netflix, tell them you want a Deathstroke the Terminator TV series.
So glad I'm opening those doors for you, Chris.
They're not going to get any more Marvel series other than just whatever they've already got characters for. So they're going to need something. They can't just use all their own characters they bought from Millar World. Well, I guess they could, but
until Disney buys Warner Brothers.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. Don't crush my dreams, damn it.
Either way, you're going to get more Slade Wilson. You know that right now.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. It was a great send-off for Slade and Manu Bennett. These past two episodes killed it. He's also killing it on the Shannara Chronicles. That's the other TV shows he's been doing. So if you love Manu Bennett, you need to watch the Shannara Chronicles. He plays Alanon, and he's just magnificent that way. And it looks like the action is actually going to continue on to next week. Unlike many shows, Arrow is going to have a Thanksgiving episode.
What?
Titled Thanksgiving. I know, right?
That's original.
Yes. So Thanksgiving is going to be season 6, episode 7. It will air Thursday, November 23rd. Oliver celebrates Thanksgiving with his family, but the happy moment is interrupted. Meanwhile, Black Siren returns to wreak havoc on the holiday. Directed by Gordon Verhoeve and writers Big Guns, Wendy Miracle, and Speed Wheat.
Wow, that is big guns for Thanksgiving. Now, in all fairness, okay, I'm conflicted about this because the episode's going to be on Thanksgiving night. So it's like a holiday, Thanksgiving, and you're giving us this. This is not Doctor Who, where you put in a Christmas episode on Christmas Day for Doctor Who. That's BBC. This is America. It's a little bit different. You don't show new shows on Thanksgiving unless it's Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, the dog show, one of the many football games. That's what you show on Thanksgiving. You do not show a new episode of a CW superhero show. So that aside, I still remember the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends, the Thanksgiving episodes of How I Met Your Mother. I mean, those were good episodes. They just weren't actually on Thanksgiving. So I don't know.
They generally aired like the week before or the week after Thanksgiving because most television shows shut down the week of Thanksgiving, and I haven't checked my DVR to see what all I was recording this week, but I think the only new things I saw in passing was the CW superhero shows and Mythbusters. I think that was it for new stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, let's get on with the news. I have one job on this podcast, and it's to press the news button. So I appreciate the fact that you thought I froze there, but I wanted to press the button. So let's go.
Okay. Well, we were talking about like the Thanksgiving episode, and it's surprising. Well, one of the reasons why I think they have to is because their mid-season finales are coming up, and they're actually going to be the week of December 4th. That's going to be episode 9 for each of the shows. So That's usually what they consider mid-season, even though these go like about 22 episodes and 22 divided by 2 is 11. But hey, it's television. Well, it was announced that they're coming back on January 15th. So that week. So Supergirl kicks off things with Monday the 15th. Flash will still be on Tuesday, and that will come back the 16th. Arrow will be regular slot Thursday night, coming back the 18th. What's upsetting me is that the CW has decided to hold off on unveiling the return date for Legends because the show will be moving to a new day and time. In the Tuesday post-Flash slot will be Black Lightning.
Which doesn't tie in to the universe they've created here. While I understand they want to put it after Flash because that's the perfect lead-in, because Flash is still the most watched show in the network, as a Legends of Tomorrow fan who arguably thinks that's their, as someone who arguably thinks that's their favorite show out of all the CW superhero ones right now, I'm just kind of sitting here going, uh-oh, what are you doing to me? Don't screw me over here, CW. They'll bring it back at some point, because remember, I think we checked in pre-show, Legends only has like 19 episodes this season versus the 22 the other series have. But even if that's the case, Black Lightning's probably more than 4 episodes, which would be the gap between that and the other programs. So I don't know where they're going to fit things in. Are they going to basically burn off Legends of Tomorrow episodes when all these other shows go on their hiatus? I don't know.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, especially with the low ratings. And also the question is, have we reached the point where we're at superhero show saturation? So I don't know. They didn't announce a plan. That's the big deal here. They did not announce a plan for Legends of Tomorrow, just that it would be moving. But they didn't say where it would be moving to.
So while I don't think we've hit superhero saturation overall, perhaps the CW has hit superhero saturation.
Yeah, because they're also talking about doing a Riverdale spinoff with Sabrina. And here's the thing, another reason why I'm very upset. Episode 9 is supposed to be the mid-season like cliffhanger. That's the Constantine Part 1 episode. Constantine is supposed to be in episodes 9 and 10. So it's going to end with Constantine, and then we don't know when we're going to see Constantine again.
Well, that will be the magic trick, right? Bringing Legends of Tomorrow back.
Point taken. I withdraw my objections if it's all part of the trick.
Okay.
I just seriously doubt that. That was just a funny quip. I really would appreciate CW coming out with a schedule and saying, we're bringing Legends of Tomorrow back X. And maybe there's something else that they need to announce, like some other show cancellation that hasn't gone out yet that they need to do first. But I don't know why they would have done this announcement, not the other announcement. So,
well, the problem is the CW has other shows that they've renewed that they haven't started up yet. Like iZombie, they have not aired a single episode of the new season yet. So they have a problem where they have more shows than they have time slots. And this happened last season with iZombie as well. So they're having to be a little trickier on how they manipulate things to actually drop it into the lineup. So maybe this is part of their TV show scheduling calculus that I just don't understand. But I really hope that putting Legends on hiatus and then potentially changing its time slot yet again does not negatively impact the show. I know Arrow's ratings are bad, but depending on how long Legends sits on the sideline and where it gets dumped, like if it's in the Friday night death slot, that could be bad news.
I really don't see Legends of Tomorrow's ratings getting much worse.
We said that about Arrow for a while, and they keep dropping down too.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. But anywhere from 1 to 1.5, I think with Legends of Tomorrow is good. And maybe they're getting the 1.5 because they're following the lead in from Flash and they want more out of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that in the next couple of weeks, they unveil their plan for what they intend to do with Legends, because one of the worst things for a fan and one of the worst things for the future of a show is uncertainty about what's going to happen to it going forward. That is the biggest time you get people going, I'm out then. I'm out, because either I pick up something else to replace it or I just forget about it because it hasn't been on in a while.
Well, if it's anything like the Team Arrow plans, we know that they really don't have one to begin with. So
fair.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on it. Michelle, what else you got in the news today?
No more news.
Okay. But you have some feedback, right?
Yes, I do have some feedback. So a live tweet, and Look, a lot of people like the tweets, and I appreciate all of them, the retweets, the liking, and everything. One of the things I tweeted during the episode was 3 minutes on screen, and Kirk Acevedo is already killing it. And I added him because he's actually on Twitter, and it is his account. There's the little blue check mark and blah, blah, blah. And he liked it.
Oh, Kurt's a nice guy. I bet you he's the nicest guy in person, too, by the way.
Probably.
Reading the Arrow Reddit, he's been fairly active in the Arrow Twitter community lately, including liking and retweeting some stuff that has people who are not shippers of Alisti happy, which has me going, huh, I wonder if he's just trying to stoke the fires or what, but it's entertaining, and he seems to be integrating well with the fandom so far.
You always wonder if actors like this, what exactly is their fandom? Do they actually come home and watch TV? Because if I was working in the TV industry, I'd find it really hard and difficult to go home after a 12-hour shooting day and then watch TV. I'd find that I'd be like, I just want to shut that off and I want to listen to music. I want to take a jacuzzi bath. I want to get on the elliptical, want to work out. I wouldn't want to watch TV, sports maybe, but not actual TV like this, like in the genre. But maybe he's just a fan of it. I actually don't know too much about Kirk. I'm going to find out though, because I like him.
Yep, I agree.
Well, that was wonderful. And if you want to catch Michelle live tweeting any of the CW DC TV shows, you can catch her on our Twitter at Starling Tribune when any of them are airing, including, it appears, Thanksgiving night. So Michelle's got plans Thanksgiving night, which do not include shopping.
No.
Don't go shopping on Thanksgiving, people. Don't support that terrible, terrible thing the industry's doing.
Indeed. All right, so that's it with feedback, and really, that's a lot of the content we have for this episode. But if you want to catch other shows that have like geeky content, there's a bunch of them on our network, right, Chris?
That's right. Each week, we like to let you guys know that the Gunna Geek Network is always growing, always evolving, and we have over 20 different shows in the network that cover a variety of different geeky topics. You know us, the Starling Tribune, we cover just the show Arrow. We have sister shows that cover things like Flash, but there's other shows in the network that cover just geek culture in general, cover gaming, all sorts of things. And each week, we like to highlight one specific show, give you a taste of what it's about, and say, hey, maybe you guys should go check this out. And this week, we're going to talk to you guys about episode 48 of the Digital Soup podcast. This is entitled Battlefront Microtransactions and the Black Screen of Death. So according to the summary, the kitchen is stocked this week with irritating news from EA, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Xbox One X crashing on release, and the iPhone 10 hates the cold. Also, YouTube gets tough as your flash drive secure and Amazon secures a Lord of the Rings deal of the day. This week, the digital soup is beefy like The Rock and goes best with a nice hot hashtag apple cider dongle. So you can go check out the Digital Soup podcast and all of the other shows that are on the Gunna Geek Network by heading over to GunnaGeek.com. But looking at things now, I think it is time for us to start wrapping things up. So a big thank you to everyone who did participate live in the chat room at geeks.live, but also to everyone who downloads the replays or watches the replays on YouTube. Don't forget, you can download the podcast directly from our site at starlingtribune.com or on the Gunna Geek page. And also, you can find all of our back catalog of videos on the Gunna Geek YouTube channel.
Remember, you can always catch us as we record live at geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sundays every week, including next week. We'll be back next week because, well, we kind of have to because Arrow has a show on Thanksgiving. I don't know what they're thinking.
They don't care because they've got an app. I honestly think that's what the case is here.
Hey, and the DVR views at least 1 million. So there you go. We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-228. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag fake scotch.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag magic arrow gun. And don't forget, if you're watching live, we're doing Justice League right after this, so give us about 5 minutes to reset, and we'll be here for that.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Manu is the best. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.